Amen. Let's pray. Father, as we come to adore our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just clear our hearts of anything that would hinder that. If we need to confess sin, help us to do it right now, Father. Repent of it so we can worship in spirit and truth. Holy Spirit, superintend the service tonight, the music, the word, the prayer. And Father, we want to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. And so thank you, and we praise you in his name. Amen. Amen. I want you to listen to the Gospel of Luke. We're going to do it in parts, and Kelsey's going to kindly read the first readings from Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. What I'd like you to concentrate on tonight is the fact that God does things in a way that we don't ever think of. In fact, we're surprised at the way he does things sometimes. Isn't that true? So, Kelsey?
In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel up to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come to you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born, will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
How gracious God is to choose a 14-year-old teen to give birth to the Son of God. You may be seated. As we ponder these things, how God did it, I want you to put yourself in the sandals of some of the people that you're hearing about tonight and reading on the screen. Think about what was going through Mary's mind when the angel said, "Well, you're going to have a child." How do you explain that to your parents, right? How do you explain it to the man you're engaged to? I mean, there's all sorts of things going on here, and this was no cakewalk for Mary or Joseph, by the way. You'll see that in a minute. And Mary, I don't know how much she fully understood at this point, but enough to know that the angel sent from God gave her a direction, and because of her obedience, God was going to richly bless her. And so I think without knowing the whole story yet, she did exactly what God wanted her to do. How many times we don't know the whole story, and yet God asks us to be obedient, right? And that's what trusting God is all about. It's not just believing in our head. It's to say, "Okay, Lord, I don't understand it all, but I'm going to take you at your word. I'm going to do exactly what you tell me." Well, that's faith. That's living faith. And you have to wonder, as Mary contemplated this, and she had to tell her parents and Joseph, right, at some point, what child is this? You know, why was I picked? And why the Son of God? What does that mean? Because the Jews were expecting the Messiah to come as a warrior, not a baby. And so God does things in strange ways, doesn't he? Melissa is going to minister to you. It's an old hymn. It's called What Child Is This? All right. So Melissa, would you come? Beautiful, thank you. Do you realize the village in which Mary and Joseph lived in was small, but you know, they didn't have any news or television or even newspapers. So word got around pretty fast. You know why? Because the sin nature enjoys gossip. And gossip, I think, is one of the most damaging things that a person can do. That's why the Bible calls it sin, all right? And of course, I'm sure once Mary made known that she was pregnant, boy, the gossip just flew. You see that young girl? I mean, she's, you know, who knows who she's been with, you know? I could just think of Mary. She had this great visitation from the angel, and now she has to endure this stuff simply because she was obedient. And then, you know, some doubt was cast on Joseph, too, because I'm sure people were saying, how could Joseph marry this girl? And what about Mary's parents? Look at the child they raised. You know how it goes. Don't you wish that people would mind their own business sometimes? We should mind our own too sometimes, huh? And so Kimmy's going to come up and read you the account of Joseph now and what happened there. So Kimmy, would you do that?
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued the decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee. To Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house of the line of David. He went to there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them.
Prior to this, an angel visited Joseph and said to Joseph, don't divorce your wife. And you might say divorce, they weren't even married. Well, back then, engagement was a legal binding contract that could only be ended by divorce. And just to show you the kind of heart that Joseph had, before the angel visited him, he didn't want to disgrace Mary publicly. He could have legally have her killed. Isn't that something? But instead, he was going to divorce her quietly until the angel came, and the angel told him what's happening. And then in great faith, I might add, he accepts what's going on. And then he and his wife, probably in her ninth month of pregnancy, make this uncomfortable trip for the census, riding on a donkey. I was sharing this last week. I know, being a dad, that when our wives get into the eighth month of pregnancy, they're saying, when's this kid coming? You know, I mean, I've had it. This is uncomfortable enough. Well, they both were obedient to God. Despite the discomfort, despite the gossip, despite all they had to contend with, and then, you know, back then, they didn't have telephones, so when they got into town, there was no room at the Holiday Inn, right? They couldn't find any room, so the innkeeper said, I got a stable for you. We'll put you there. Wow. So you traveled all this distance because the government said you had to. Sound familiar? And They end up in a stable with animals. Those of you who ended up going to a zoo maybe on a hot, humid day, it's not so good, is it? I mean, it smells pretty badly. And this stable was probably in a cave. It's kind of dark and dingy. What a way for the King of Kings to come into the world. Unbelievable. But God does these things in strange ways. I want you to now listen to what happened when Jesus was born. Bethlehem, by the way, does anybody know what Bethlehem means? House of bread. This is exactly what it means. It's fitting that the bread of heaven would be born in the house of bread. And there's a lot of significance here. By the way, a lot of scientists along the years have tried to explain the Bethlehem star. I don't know if you saw the southwest sky this week where I think Saturn and Jupiter were lined up or something like that, and they were calling it the, you know, the Bethlehem star. Listen to me. You know, God didn't need the planets to line up that way. He may have used it that way. I'm not sure. But there was no mistaking that this star was special, because there were some magi thousands of miles away who saw it and knew God was up to something. And so we're going to look at a choir right now that came to announce Jesus' birth. So Chip, where's Chip? He's going to come up. He's going to read you about this choir.
Hear now the word. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring to you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, say it with me, ladies and gentlemen, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all of these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all these things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. Amen.
God does things in strange ways sometimes. We'll talk a little bit more about that passage, but I want you to hear a selection of music that I think will prepare your heart for what God would have us have for us tonight. So I'm going to ask the ladies if they would come forward. They're going to sing to you a special piece called "A Strange Way to Save the World."
All the rulers in all the world. Jesus had come as he deserved. There would have been no Bethlehem, no lowly shepherds at his birth. But Joseph knew the reason love had to reach so far.
Joseph said, "Why me?
Why me?
I'm just a simple man of trade.
Why him?
With all the rulers in the world.
With all the rulers in the world.
Why here?
Why here?
Inside this stable filled with hay.
Why her?
She's just an old such a strange way to save the world.
For unto you is born this day a Savior, Christ the Lord.
Now I'm not one to second guess what angels have to say. This is such a strange way to save the world.
This is such a strange way.
This is such a strange way
to save the world.
Were you blessed by the music? Yeah. Even the parking lot was blessed. Music is a special gift. It really is. And I hope we never take it for granted. I want to take a little bit of a deeper look with you at the passage that Chip read for you for a couple of reasons. This is one of those passages where if you don't understand the culture of the time, a lot gets lost. And let me explain what I mean by that. Shepherds in the culture of the day were considered lowlifes. Okay? They were considered the bottom of society. In fact, when they came walking down the street in the town, people would cross to the other side of the road because usually you could smell them coming before you see them. They picked up the odor of the sheep and all. But there were two kinds of people who were not allowed to testify in court in Jesus' day. Shepherds and women. Isn't that terrible? Right? So who does God pick to announce the birth of the Savior of the world? The shepherds. This is amazing to me. Simply because as you read the Bible from the beginning to the end, it seems like God always favors the underdog. He always favors the underdog, right? The shepherds. And, you know, as this was happening, as other people started to find out about this, I'm sure they said, why would God reveal this to you? You're nothing. If you ever think that God doesn't value you, read this passage. He values you so much he sent his son to die for you. And so here are the shepherds. They're out in the field. And I want you to notice they were just working. They weren't in church. They were working. They were tending to the flock. And it says they were keeping watch over their flocks at night. Have any of you ever worked a midnight shift? Yeah, I have, right? It's no fun, you know. Sometimes you start imagining things that aren't there. I don't know if you've ever had that experience. And, you know, here are these shepherds. Shepherds are hard workers. They had to be vigilant all the time. They had to make sure the sheep were fed. They were safe, kept them safe from predators. They had to sleep with one eye open all the time just to see if anybody's trying to steal them or kill them. And it says an angel of the Lord appeared to them. That word appeared in the original language means all of a sudden, out of nowhere. It wasn't announced beforehand. It wasn't, publicized. It just happened. All of a sudden, the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Have you ever been in a place where there's no ambient light at night and looked up at the sky? On a clear night. I mean, you see things you never saw before, right? Even in a place like this, the ambient light, even in a place like Forked River, blocks out a lot of what's there. And here are the shepherds. They're in the fields. It's pitch black. And all of a sudden, this great light shone around them. Would you be terrified? You know what they would say today? It's a UFO. Right? No, this is not a UFO. This is a message from heaven that was sent especially to shepherds. Notice it wasn't sent to the Pharisees, the religious people. It was sent to the shepherds, hardworking people like you. People who were considered disenfranchised from society or outcasts. Listen to me. We all have our prejudices, okay? What this says to me is that we should never write anybody off. We should never think anybody's outside of God's grace and his ability to save them by his grace. We gotta be really careful about that, don't we? Because sometimes we go around kind of self-righteously and think, well, you know, if God, I wish he'd save that person, they're pretty good, you know. But God always surprises us. How many of you went to high school? How many of you went to high school so long ago you can't remember it? My high school had their 50th reunion this year. So, shows you how old I am. But in the yearbook, they used to do, you know, most likely to succeed and all of that. If God ran the yearbook when I was a senior in high school, I would have been picked the least likely to be saved. The least likely to be saved. And I think you would too. And this is the incredible grace of God. And God does things in a way that amazes us. We're all going to be surprised when we get to heaven, I think, because people we didn't think would be there are going to be there. And some of the people we thought were going to be there may not be there. All right? I mean, God knows for sure. But I'm glad that God is the final judge. It's not me. But never write anybody off as being beyond the grace of God for forgiveness and new life. The shepherds, the lowest of the low, the thief on the cross, the woman at the well, the prostitute who anointed Jesus' feet. Yeah, I can go on and on. This is the miracle of Christmas. Let's go on for a minute here. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid. By the way, if you ever want to do a study on your own, in the Bible there's 365 phrases that say, do not be afraid. I don't think that's by accident. You can look at one every day. We live in confusing times, don't we? We live in some in frightening times. We need to hear this more often from the Spirit of God. Don't be afraid. Keep on being obedient. Doesn't mean we get stupid and do stuff we're not supposed to do. But it does mean we need to be obedient to God and keep going with Him. Because if we're walking with God through faith, and we know Christ as our personal Lord and Savior through faith alone, then we're going to go the right way. We don't have to be afraid. Don't be afraid. I bring good news. You know what that word is in the original language? The gospel. I teach you a little Greek. Euangelion is the word. It means gospel. I bring you the good news. Listen, if you make the mistake of going home tonight and turning on Fox or CNN or whatever news, don't do it. Not tonight. Just don't do it. You might get aggravated. You know, here's the good news. I just wish that we would hear more good news, but this is the greatest news mankind has ever heard. I bring good news that will cause great joy. That word great is mega. Incredible, huge joy for all the people. I want you to notice there also, it wasn't just for the Jews, but it was for the whole world. Today, in the town of David, a Savior, has been born. Notice there's no punctuation right there. But the Savior has been born to you. This is a personal Savior. I often tell people when I bring them through a new believers class, if they're new in the faith, that if you were the only person on the face of this earth, Jesus still would have come to die for you, to take the punishment of your sin on the cross in your place, because that's how much He loves you. A Savior has been born to you. He's a personal Messiah. He's a personal Savior. He is the Messiah. Messiah means the anointed one of God. That's what it means. The Lord. The King. It's amazing. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in clothes and laying in a manger. And it says, suddenly, again, is that suddenly again, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Glory to God in the highest heaven. This is a chorus of praise, a chorus of just giving God glory. Okay. You got it? Okay. Giving God glory. And in the midst of it all, the shepherds are taking this in. This had to be an incredible scene. There was no praise band. We like praise bands. There's nothing wrong with them. There was no praise band. This was the chorus from heaven. It came on suddenly, and look what happens. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So when the angels left, the shepherds, they said, we got to go see this. So they made the trip to Bethlehem, seeking out Jesus. Well, it says, so they hurried off. They hurried and found Mary and Joseph. And the baby who was laying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Listen, there's only two reactions when you meet Jesus. There's no middle of the road here. One, the first reaction, or one of the possible reactions, is to reject him. The only other one is to receive him. So when you come face to face with Christ, there's no in between. You're going to make your decision. Either you're going to reject or ignore him, or you're going to embrace him, because you will realize that he died for you, that he died to forgive your sin once and for all. He died to give you new life and new purpose. They went, they found him, they came away different. Remember I was talking about gossip before? There's only one type of gossip that the Bible says is good, and that's this type of gossip. He says, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed what the shepherds said to them. That's unbelievable. You know, these weren't theologians. They were shepherds. They were hardworking, ordinary people like you. They were probably not real educated, but they had an encounter with the living Christ. And because of that encounter, it changed their lives. They knew that this child was going to die for them. They knew that this child came for them because to them, and to you, a savior was born. Now listen, if you get angry at me, I'm sorry. But this passage, I think, is one of the clearest passages in the scripture that says that every one of us who knows Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior should be spreading the good news. Every one of us. Well, Pastor, I don't know the Bible real well. Well, they didn't either. Well, Pastor, what if they ask me a question I don't know? Well, be honest. Say, I don't know. Don't fudge. Tell them what you do know. Remember the blind man that Jesus healed? He was blind from birth. And the Pharisees were questioning him, drilling him. They questioned his parents. They went back to him. And he says, look, all I know is this. I was blind, but now I can see. And he wasn't ashamed to tell people that he had met the Savior. Because before the Savior, he was blind, not only physically, but spiritually. But now he was free, physically and spiritually. So we don't have an excuse. All you have to do is tell your story. What you were like before you came to Christ. How Christ sought you out, and that's exactly what happens. Maybe it's here tonight, I don't know. And then tell what your life is like after Christ. Listen, all of us who know Christ and have been walking with him for a while, know that our lives are vastly different than they probably would have ended up without him. Let's finish this out. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned. They went back to work. What were they doing now? Glorifying and praising God for all these things they heard and seen, which was just as they had been told. Now, I'm going to stop there simply because of this. Let me go back. They returned to work, hard work, glorifying and praising God for all things they had seen, which were just as they had been told. I can tell you this. If the church, the evangelical church in North America, were to let the Spirit of God continue to change our lives from the inside out, whether we're at work, we're in the home, we're in the neighborhood, we're in school, people are going to start noticing a difference. You may love people more. You probably will. You may not write people off so often, knowing that they were made in the image of God. You may feel compassion that somebody needs to know Jesus. You know, we're in uncertain times. There's no question in the world that, you know, that, and again, don't listen to the news, please, not tonight. But everybody's unsure about the COVID virus and all. Listen, take the precautions. We need to. Don't get careless. However, I can tell you this, that barring, in spite of all of this in confusing times, first of all, Jesus is still alive. Second of all, God's still in control. Third of all, this doesn't negate us from sharing the greatest news in the world with other people. We do it in a loving way, not in a harsh way. We do it in a way where we build relationships and earn the trust of people before we earn the right to share the gospel with them. The gospel is good news. Now listen, one last thought, and then we'll do the candlelight portion of the service. I would encourage you, if you ever want to do this, especially our young people, look at the Gospels, the life of Jesus, and how Jesus always elevated the underdog. Always. Starting with women. The shepherds, the lepers, the prostitutes. And what attracted all of them to Jesus was his love. It was a love that we can't even imagine this side of heaven. It was a love so deep, he was willing to take their place on the cross for you and me, to bear the full wrath of God for our sin that we deserve. And all he says is, I offer forgiveness to you. All you need to do is believe. Now, that word believe doesn't mean hear. It means coming to a point where you trust your very life to the Savior. Heart, mind, and will. That's the message of Christmas. I got a chance today. I'm losing my voice. Yay. Now, I got a chance today to watch a little bit of Scrooge with Alistair Sim. I think it's the one that was made in the 50s, right? And it was a scene where the ghost of Christmas past was bringing Scrooge around, and Marley was dying. So he goes, he was called to Marley's during the workday, and he said, I can't go during the workday. I'll go after 7 o'clock. And he said, well, I don't know if he'll live that long. Well, if he doesn't, he doesn't, Scrooge says. So he goes up, and Marley's on his deathbed, and he has something to tell Scrooge, and he says, right all the wrongs. Scrooge says, what? He says, the wrongs. And Scrooge says, we've all done wrong things. And in his last breath, Marley says to Scrooge, save yourself. Save yourself. Well, Scrooge had to learn he couldn't save himself. He had to learn about the Savior that was born to him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, if you don't want to read the whole book, read the account of what happened when he woke up. He said, I'm free as a bird. I am light as a feather. He kissed his maid. She thought he was nuts. He sent a goose to Bob Cratchit's house. He started doing all these. You know what the first thing he did after he got dressed? He went to church. And he worshiped. That's what happens when we have a living encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, let me share this also. Whatever collection we do, it don't pass the plate, obviously, because of COVID. But there's a box right by Lorraine. Anything that we give tonight is going to go to the English as Second Language Ministry with Diego, okay? So if you're able to do that, if you didn't come prepared, you could always do it online. Just put a note in there that is for Diego. The ministry is going very well. He'll vacillate between 17 and 18 people a week, and they're reading the Bible now, all right, which is a really good thing. And because of Diego's work, for the first time this year, the majority of people who came for the winter coats were Latinos, and we were so glad to see that. It was a really good thing. So the work of God continues. If you give to that, that's great. I just want to ask if anybody want to share a word before we go into the candlelight portion. Anybody? Don't be shy. Yeah, Nancy. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Yep. And you're right. I think the fact that we're able to meet here tonight is an answer to prayer. That's a real answer to prayer. We take it for granted. And the fact that we can do this in the parking lot, we take it for granted, right? And we're broadcasting on Facebook. Anybody else want to share just a word of praise? No? Oh, you're all so quiet. You're all so quiet. I really praise God for all of you. Yeah, I really do. We have a small congregation, but we have great people here. And I praise God for that. You've all been a very very great encouragement to me through a very difficult year. And I appreciate that. But guess what? We're going to walk through 2021 together. And we're going to keep worshiping. We're going to keep spreading the gospel because I know my Savior is still in charge. And so, I know we can't lower the lights because you got to read music, but no, that's okay. You have candles? All right. Who doesn't mind taking one of these candles and helping people light theirs? Is anybody? I mean, I'll do it if you want. All right, Janine. I'll make you a deal, okay? If you want to go, yeah, I got wax on me already. If you want to do this side, I'll do that side. Okay. Ladies, would you come forward, please? And Chip. Sing this prayerfully. This will be the last song we sing tonight. And this is my prayer that God would make himself so known in this crazy world that we would come to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Sing this loud, please.
Your name, let your faith.
Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
You can put your candles out. I don't want anybody to get burned. It's tough, isn't it? Got to blow hard. There you go. I am so glad you came out tonight. For Mary Lou and myself, we're just so glad to be a part of you. And I wish you all a very Merry Christmas, a great Christmas. Would you join me in showing our thanks to our technical people, our praise people, and Sharon, please? Listen, enjoy your family, stay well, and if you're able to come back Sunday, we'll be looking at one of the I am statements where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so we'll unpack that next week. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to worship tonight, to lift up the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray that your Spirit help us never take for granted the miracle of Christmas. God in the flesh, invading this crazy world, fully God, fully man, to be the Savior that we need to rescue us from our own rebellion and an eternity apart from God. We thank you and we praise you. And all God's people said, God bless, Merry Christmas, and have a great night.